Good. So I'm assuming everybody, and if you're an exception, please let me know. I'm assuming everyone here is a faith, Bible-based believer. Is that pretty safe? Okay. As I was mentioning a little earlier, before we came in, somewhere along the line between the preparation and the flyer and whatnot, part of the title got lost. Because what this really is archaeology proves the Bible. Okay? So that's our goal, and that's what we'll be talking about for the next 4 or 5 weeks. What did I set? I am an absent-minded professor. Just ask my wife. She'll tell you. Her name is Barbara. That's right. I'm also old. So, a little bit about myself. I was actually raised in a show business family. So if occasionally my facial expressions or my actions are a little over the top, that's how I was trained, okay? But, and they were primarily jazz musicians, and by jazz I mean jazz of the 30s and 40s into the 50s. Religion is not usually a high priority in a jazz group, okay? For better or worse, because it depends on what they think they believe. That's why I say better or worse. So I was not brought up with, I was infant sprinkle baptized in a Presbyterian church many, many years ago. And so I did not grow up with any particular religious foundation. But and then the big curse came in when I went through secular universities. Basically, I came out of there with a couple of things. First of all, you either believe in Darwinian evolution or you're an idiot. That's the way my professors talk. Okay? And of course, religious faith is open to whatever you want to believe. Whatever makes you feel good, which is kind of a slogan for the 60s and 70s. Whatever makes you feel good. You know? So that didn't help. Now, I came out of there, if not an atheist, pretty much an agnostic. In fact, much to my regret, when I was in college, if I saw a Christian group, maybe sitting on the lawn or wherever, having a Bible discussion, I'd wait for my chance to debate them. Now, the sad thing is, in my opinion at that time, I always won the debate. Later, I began to realize that's because they were not sufficiently prepared to give the responses back, in which case my debate would have fizzled from the first sentence. And then in 1985, I did have a wonderful personal experience with the Lord, and it was made very clear to me that I didn't know nothing, and He knows everything. Which means, basically, I had to start learning all over again from scratch with that perspective. Now, I'm still on staff at Shepherd of the Hills Evangelical Church in Porter Ranch, California. I'm not very active there as a pastor because I'm teaching 5 classes at this time. This is 1 of 5. Okay? So, as you can imagine, there's a lot of time going into preparing for the next class. Let's see. So, Barbara, you'll meet her next class, next week, and her testimony is a whole lot more interesting than mine, but you'll see. So I married my Jewish wife in 1981. She did not come to know the Jewish Messiah, Jesus the Christ, until 1997. So I get a little touchy on what biblically unequally yoked means. I was not a believer for the first 4 years, and she was not a believer in the Lord for the first 16 years. Okay? So, but it worked. And God took his time, but he did what he had to do. And you'll understand what that was next week. Because my Jewish wife is a... Her knowledge of the Bible is phenomenal. In fact, right now, she's in a BSF program. You know what that is? Bible Study Fellowship or Foundation? Fellowship, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. So she's been doing that for 3 years. So she shows me up on occasion. Now, I think that's all you need to know about my egotistical speech. So I'm going to go around the room and just take just a couple of minutes. Tell me what you hope to get out of this class so I know I'm teaching what you wanted to hear. We'll start with you.
Okay? Hi, I'm Catherine Baker. I've always wanted to be an archaeologist. So I am looking forward to learning all I can and possibly go on a date one day in Israel.
Excellent. Remember that when I mention a magazine. It was just a little bit. Remember that. It's a good thing. Well, you're next.
My name is Lynn Klein, and I'm hoping to, I'm working with evangelism, and I'm hoping to, as you say, this is more proof that I'm very interested in history and archaeology.
Wonderful.
Israel, but I'm looking to learn more myself and to have more information for other people, to bring people to the Lord.
Very good. Yes, ma'am. You're next.
Hi, I'm Gail Saltz, and just recently I started taking more of an interest in the Bible again.
Mm-hmm.
And I have an interest in when I'm reading to know, well, how do we know that is real from historical events, and I've been trying to get stuff on the internet, you know, but when I saw this class, I thought, wow, you know,
oh, good.
I think maybe it's an answer to prayer.
I hope so, I'll try.
I'm Cindy Edson, and in 2007, I was in Israel and saw a lot of archaeology and went to a dig.
Where was the dig?
It was right underneath the temple wall. It was David's.
City of David.
The city of David.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. 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 Doing a lot of good digs there.
Yeah. So that whetted my appetite.
Oh, yes. Sir, I think we'll go to you.
I was ready to go back.
Can go left to right. You're going to be prepared. My left.
I've always had I love history, and I love reading about it, I love hearing about it. I also love the Bible, and I love reading it and learning about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the two do go together well, especially if you're talking to other people about the Bible. That's always questions that come up. Well, what do you mean that? Well, you know, this is what they found, and you know, these type of things. So I look for this class, first of all, because I love history, I love learning about it, but also being able to use it also when I talk with other people about the Bible.
Very good. Ma'am, you're up.
I think for me, I've always, you know, there's internal proofs, external proofs, the bibliographic proofs, the accuracy of the Bible, and I've always focused more on internal proofs. So I'd like to see some of the external proofs and be able to communicate that better to other people. But the idea would be useful for apologetics.
Very good.
Diane Kelby, and I enjoy history how people lived in ancient times. And so archaeology as it pertains to the Bible, very interesting.
My name is Karen Clinique, and I'm a retired educator, and I was political science, history, world history, U.S. history teacher. And
you're in charge of lunch, I guess.
I was with Chuck Smith in 73 when the Yom Kippur War broke out. And, and then I've been back a couple of times, 2015, and
just last year. Just last year you were there.
Yeah.
Good.
With my pastor, Dave Roth, and then also with Dennis Prager and Mike Gallagher.
Oh, good man.
Stand for Israel tour that they did. So
yeah.
I'm just hooked, and I now am attending Shuva Israel, and I just can't get enough. And I too want to dig in the dirt, I call it.
Yeah.
If I could find a Hezekiah coin, you know, like or a couple of those bulas laying right there in the city. Wow, could that or scare me even that? That would be phenomenal. And I just have a passion in there about how God wants to use that. So I was so thrilled to see your class.
Very good. Just so if I understood you correctly, Hezekiah, the finder of Hezekiah was not a coin. It was an ostrich. It was written on a piece of pottery and indicated very much it was from the time of Hezekiah. So, yeah. Oh, okay. We're way back there.
Hi, my name is Jack. I know nothing. I hope to improve on it.
Very good. An honest man.
Julie Cordell. I was challenged about 10 years ago by a non-believer with a question and found that I didn't know the answer in 9 seconds. Interested in all aspects of apologetics ever since, and this is just one more avenue that proves the Bible in the Bible.
Very good.
I'm Lily, you. I'm the same as Jim, I don't know anything.
Okay.
I don't know how important it is.
Well, an honest woman with us, too.
My name is Roddy. I lead an apologetics type group and have dealt with atheists in debate type situations.
Very good.
I'm Paul Stevens. I studied archaeology and apologetics in the past. And about 15 years ago, as I was reading through the Bible in the year, I read along with it, Warren Keller's book, Lifeless History. And that was a lot of that is archaeology, and I found that fascinating. And I went, in 2007, I went with Cindy and other lot of our students to Israel and found that really.
07, you said?
07.
Yeah.
2007. Really deepened my understanding to be able to see the places I was reading about. And I continue to be fascinated by both the land and the history of Israel.
Very good. Everybody say, hi, Bob.
Hi, I'm Bob, and you're in for a real treat.
Oh.
Great.
I'll, that's a secret. I'll give you your $20 later, okay? Just to be fair. Jeff.
Yeah, I forgot to mention earlier that there is going to be a 10 sheet going around. So if, if your name's not on there, can you please put that on there and fill out your email address?
Do you want me to send it out now?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. There you go. I think the printed names are scheduled. I think I should add a little bit about my education. I have a master's in history from Cal State Northridge, CSUN, and also a master's in health science administration, healthcare administration, which was relative to my 30-year career as an administrator with Kaiser Permanente. So not directly here. But after becoming a believer, I also got my doctorate in Christian theology / biblical archaeology. Okay. So that's the background on that. So I think we can go there. Let's see. Gosh, my old brain. A couple of you said comments I wanted to follow up on, but that's okay. If you'd like to open your Bibles to, I believe that's 1 Peter. I didn't put a number on it. Is 1 Peter 3, verse 15, does that start with something like, but in your hearts set apart? 1 Peter chapter 3.
Yes,
yeah, okay. Well, since you spoke up, would you read that, please? That's kind of our class verse right there. And actually in the Greek, the word got translated as a simple answer. It's actually the Greek word apologia, And it means a legal brief. Doesn't just mean an answer. It means a well-studied, well-prepared response to atheists or whomever. Excuse me. So that will be our prime verse. And I know what I was going to say. Also, this isn't just going to be about digging in the dirt, okay? We will go off on several rabbit trails that will also include general biblical information, translations in a bit. But I should mention that, do you all know what a rabbit trail is? Okay, I'm guilty of many of them, all right? So, and since my wife is not here, somebody will have to remind me if I went off on a rabbit trail way over here, but never finished the primary point. Just tell me. You know, you left that dangling. And call me Hal. Okay? That's my name. Hal. Let's see. Where do we want to go? Oh, I need... do I have a copy of their outline so I'm paying some attention to what they're... I got one. I do have one. Thank you very much. Now, I'd also have to say that because of all the classes I'm prepping for, I really went into high gear preparing for this class about the same time that I needed to send that outline into Hadivar. As a result, there will often be material, I apologize for this, there'll often be things I point to or say that are not on the outline. So most of you have something to write with and on. So have you got one page, two-sided, or two pages? Two pages? Good. You have even more blank space to write in. Where do I want to go from here? Well, I think we've covered that thoroughly. Right there. I think number two on your outline, hopefully I've pretty much already addressed that archaeology, amongst many other disciplines that are relevant to proving the Bible, not just archaeology, although that's a big one, not all of them, I mean, there are many that also can be used in your journey to be able to respond not only to someone else, but to your own inner questions that pop up, whether it's, I don't know what that means, or those kind of things. So I can't answer all of those. I can't give you the tools for all of those, but I'll try to give you archaeological proofs along the way. And if along the way, here's why I wanted to mention a magazine. If along the way you decide that you're really excited about biblical archaeology, and there's no required reading, obviously, but the best book I could recommend is BAR, Biblical Archaeological Review. And it's not a Christian magazine, but it's a very honest or fair, I should say. One example, there is an archaeologist that Bob and I used to watch a lot on television. He's not on TV anymore that I know of. His name is Simcha Yakubovich. He is a practicing conservative Jew, and he's not always fair. He's very good pre-Jesus, okay? But he's not always good beyond that. And a couple years ago, separate from this, he had a whole big thing going about, supposedly, he found a text talking about Jesus' wife. Jesus was married. They don't know that, blah, 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 blah. Barr did an excellent article about 2 or 3 months ago, it's not in this one, unfortunately, disputing all of his points, including a Harvard professor, Dr. Klein, I think, maybe not, who said it was real, and the fact that it was probably written about 300 years after Yeshua. I should finish on my wife. I'm scatterbrained here, I'm sorry. When she became a believer, and I was a pastor at Shepherd of the Hills, that's where we attended. But subsequently, she learns about something called Messianic Judaism. And who said they're going to a Messianic synagogue? Yeah, you and you. Okay, very good. So you know what I'm talking about. And it's very much Yeshua or Jesus based. The statement of faith at our Messianic synagogue way out in Agoura Hills, next to Thousand Oaks, way over there or wherever it is, is their statement of faith is no different than I'll bet you the statement of faith for this church. So that's... But its emphasis, of course, is on the Jewishness of our faith. And in my relearning process, I have learned there's a lot of things we can learn if we keep in mind that not only Jesus was Jewish, all of his apostles were Jews, and essentially all the believers, with a couple of Gentiles here and there, were all Jewish. And we'll, I don't know if we'll really be able to have time to get into it, but we'll talk about what was one of my wife's first questions when she became a believer in Israel. I don't want to give her away. She said, well, then if it was all Jewish, what happened? You know? So I just taught, just completed a class on Jewish history where we talked all about where Judaism had to be reinvented after the 66 to 70 siege and destruction of the temple in Jerusalem and much of Jerusalem itself. So that's where we attend most often, unless I get called for pastoral duties at Jeopardy Hills, in which case I go. It's not like from here to Porter Ranch. It's like from our home down the hill about 7 minutes. They just opened a massive new sanctuary, seats something like 8,000 people. And they still have three services.
This is
packed. Pardon me? No. I'm sorry. I'm not a pastor at Messianic Synagogue. Thank you. If I'm confused, don't hesitate to say that. No, it is, the Shepherd of the Hills is an evangelical Christian church. Okay. The Messianic Synagogue we go to, which is not that close to our home, is called Beth or Bet. There is no TH sound in Hebrew, but that's the way it usually is pronounced. B-E-T-H. Right? Oh, yeah, I got right here. That's not right.
Is it close to Thousand Oaks? Because I have yes. A friend looking for something.
Oh, come on down. Come on down to Beth Emunah, House of Faith, Emunah, Faith, House of, and it really should be pronounced Beth, because there is no TH sound in Hebrew. And it's in Agoura Hills. Agoura Hills is different than just Agoura. They're right next to each other, but it's a little different section. Okay? Pardon my stumbling around. I don't like to be using this all the time. Hopefully I've gotten past Roman numeral number 2 in saying that archaeology is a crucial component of proving the Bible dramatically. Now, I did say a pre-study of Bible history. I'm going to save that for later because it's already a half hour. And if I get through today's notes any time near 11 o'clock, it will be I talk too fast and might have lost people, so just slow me down, okay? Let's just talk a little bit about the history of archaeology itself. With very few exceptions, the so-called archaeology of the past up until about the mid-1800s, our millennia, 1800s AD, that it was kind of a joke. There was a Frenchman, I believe his last name was Spon, S-P-O-N, I think. Yeah, Jacques Spon, who was in the 1600s, and he was actually very good. The primary tool that the archaeologists used up until about the mid-1800s was dynamite. Can you imagine how much information they destroyed? They weren't looking for archaeology. They were looking for treasure. Okay? They were looking for gold, silver, and precious jewels. Now, I want you to keep this, I'm really, hopefully, a very linear thinking, so kind of picture that timeline. The first real big break in being able to understand the Egyptian, the pharaonic Egyptian milieu or cultures or beliefs, came with a man by the name of Champollion, not Napoleon, but Champollion, and he discovered, anybody know all that? Champollion, he discovered the Rosetta Stone. Okay? That was a tremendous find because we don't know exactly when it was produced, but it had to be somewhere around 200 or 300 BC. So he went over there in the early 1800s because Napoleon, not Champollion, actually took a number of scientists with him when he went with his military to conquer Egypt, okay? And that was in the early 1800s as well. And the best we can figure, this Rosetta Stone, which was a phenomenal find because it included the same sentences in three different languages. It included it in ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics, okay? It included it in what was called modern hieroglyphics at that time, 200 years, almost 300 years ago, and in Koine Greek, okay? Modern Greek, if you visit Athens or wherever, is not the same as biblical Koine Greek, okay? It's changed over the centuries. I do happen to believe that God chose to switch from Hebrew to Greek, because if any of you have studied Greek at all, you know it's a very specific language, okay? Even nouns are declined into various tenses along the way to make sure you really, you know, Hebrew is a wonderful language. We'll be talking a little bit about Hebraicness, made up a word. Don't write that down. I made it up. as we go along. But let's see. That was a rabbit trail. Getting back to Champollion. As far as we can figure, this stone, it's not very big, you can still see it in England. England got it, all right? Oh, I gotta go back to that. I gotta make a note to myself. Amnoni, yeah, okay. I'll go back to that in just a second. As far as we can figure, somewhere along the line, probably during the Muslim control over that area, what we would call Egypt today, it was used as a nice sized brick. Oh, I can save a lot of room but not use as many bricks if I just stick that thing as part of a wall. I happen to believe on many of those things, it was God who made sure it was going to be discovered when it was discovered. Keep your timeline in view. Because that it took him, I'm guessing, 15 to 20 years to actually break down the hieroglyphics. You know, he had to get some knowledge right off the bat that it is an exact copy of what he's reading in the Koine Greek. And then he went from there. I have a friend, actually, Professor Fales, one of my prime and wonderful professors. He wrote a dictionary of hieroglyphics. somebody had to, I guess. Anyway, the timeline is this. What disease hit the earth in the mid to late 1800s? We can start with Darwinian evolution and his buddies, Huxley, for example, called, I think it was the bulldog, of Darwin's bulldog, or something like that. We got Karl Marx. Don't want to forget Marx and Engels in the gang. And we saw the birth of many 20th century tyrants like Stalin and Lenin and Trotsky and Hitler, all born in the late 1800s. And that's why I believe the timeline shows God. At that same time that the whole world was getting you know, being shot, buckshot, getting buckshot of secularism and atheism, Marxism-Leninism. I'm sure you all know that atheism is a primary tenet, as well as Darwinian evolution, atheism is the primary tenet of Marxism-Leninism. So here comes God, okay? And God said, I'm going to show you, not a philosophical proof, not a discussion proof, but hard material proofs. Our starting point for knowing that the rest of the Bible that is not historical, is faith-based or beautiful psalms or what have you, if it can prove that the Bible, I believe, the Torah, the first five books, were essentially written by Moses or Moshe up until Deuteronomy when it records his death. I don't think he wrote that poem. I think Joshua probably took over somewhere along the line. Anyway, I'm way off on rabbit trails now. That will be in 1 Peter 3:15. I just repeat that as our primary verse. To be fully prepared to give apologia, or knowledgeable proofs of your faith, your hope. I'm also teaching a class on the book of Hebrews, and boy, I could have gone off in a wild rabbit chase right there. Okay. As I said, the Rosetta Stone is still around. And it is in the British Museum. It's in England. I don't think it's separate from the British Museum, which we visited once, and you need about 6 weeks to tour that. We had about 3 hours. But and going back to my secular days, I was taught that the West, primarily England and France and Germany, whatnot, had destroyed all of these monuments and all of these artifacts that they took out of Egypt and into England. That's what I was taught. I basically believed that. We did a bad thing, us Western people. We have a good friend named Noni Darwish. You can Google her. And her site is Arabs for Israel. Hers is a fascinating testimony too. Her father, you remember who Gamal Abdel Nasser was? We're all old enough to remember Nasser, aren't we? I don't know, the group looks pretty young, but I'm going to assume you know Nasser. Her father. Her father was Nasser's chief of secret police. And I think most of you know that all the terrorism and whatnot that we're experiencing goes back to Nasser and his development of the Muslim Brotherhood. That's the cancer at the core of the problem, the Muslim Brotherhood, fomented by Nasser. And what she says is, no, the West saved all that. And when she said that, I believed her because I know her. I mean, her testimony is awesome. But, how do we say? Well, now we know, don't we? Now we know what ISIS likes to destroy. Because in their Islamic thinking, that's idolatry or whatever, or a reflection of non-Muslim cultures. That's good enough for them to have a reason to destroy it. We saved, the Western folks saved those things, not destroyed them at all. Yes, ma'am.
Can you tell us her name again, please?
Oh, sure. As I say, her name is not in the website, but there it is. And her name is Noni Darwish. You've heard her speak in our Thursday Bible class, haven't you, Bob? Yeah. Darwish, which is not her real name, by the way, because there are multiple fatwas issued against her. Fatwas are death penalty issued by Muslims. Extremists, whatever. Did I leave anything hanging there that I didn't complete before I move on a little bit? Okay, so we're moving up into the mid-1800s. We're getting away from dynamite. And, of course, the Rosetta Stone kind of woke up some heads there, thinking, we could have blown this up. We'd never been able to read hieroglyphics, as far as they knew. And then, rabbit trail. If you go to downtown L.A. and some of the old theaters, it's a very Egyptian cult, settings. And that comes back from Howard Carter and the tomb of Tutankhamun. Okay? Because when that broke the news in the early 1900s, the U.S. and the Hollywood community went crazy over Egyptian themes. That's the word I was trying to think of before. So God begins to unfold a scientific understanding of archaeological finds. And now, as some of you who have done digs know, our enormous tools are things like a toothbrush, maybe a dental pick. We do everything we can not to destroy or injure. And all of those sites are very well documented now. Photographs of the site before you get into it, and steps along the way, and when something special first appeared, and you take pictures, and then you film the removal of that item, cleaning it off, and beginning to identify it and date it. Let's see. I feel like really I should share much more about archaeology. And we will along the way. Most of our classes will be devoted to finds and Bible-proofing finds. But, go ahead.
But that magazine that you mentioned, that you said they're not Christian, but they're people that think they are, or they're just...
No, they're secular. There are Christian authors of individual editorials or individual letters. Can't think of the word. What's part of a magazine?
Articles.
Son of a gun. I can't spell those long words like that. So Bethlehem, hello, stay with me. So Bethlehem Onah was there, and now we're looking for Barr. Chief editor is a man by the name of Herschel, a Jewish man, probably a secular Jewish man, I would guess. Herschel Schenck. I can't remember how to spell his name. This is sad. I'm going senile as you're watching me. Herschel Schenck. And you can just Google Barr and you'll get it. But it stands for Biblically called shorthand, Biblical Archaeology Review is the name. And if you want to really be up to date on the modern finds in and around Israel, it's biblical, so Bible goes to Ur, certainly goes into Egypt, goes up to Greece and whatnot. So they discuss a lot of finds. Now, if you decide, those of you who are really getting interested into archaeology, if I can find it, there is a magazine just titled Archaeology. And that's world archaeology. You can read articles on Olmec or Mayan or Aztec cultures or Chinese or whatever. So that's worldwide. But Barr is just Bible lands archaeology. I couldn't go without it. I think I wrote down here somewhere. Some of the most recent articles, just to whet your appetite. I'll come across it. I bounce around my notes. I'm not being very good at really. I don't do well just reading something to people, you know. That I don't know. I just remembered something. As I said, many disciplines now are scientifically involved in all kinds of finds. Drop a pen. There we go. And give you a recent example. By the way, the Rebbetzin, the wife of our Messianic rabbi, and I are planning a trip to Israel in March or April of next year. Right now, we're trying to work out an agenda cut down the price. It started off as about $3,400 a person. We don't know a whole lot of people that could do that, so we're working on cutting this and cutting that. The focus is not a Christian focus. We're not going to visit every church in Israel. We won't probably visit any of them, except maybe the Holy Sepulchre, the Catholic idea of where the tomb was that he left dramatically. So, you know, if you can, and I want to bring in some myself, if you can come, where anybody need any of this still? Okay. If you can come with a map, so I can point things out and not do my stupid drawings up here, of Israel and, at least as far north as southern Turkey and as far east as, say, Syria, Iraq, maybe even into Iran, and west into Egypt and whatnot. If you can bring that, that'll help me a lot. There is, of course, everybody knows, Hagalel, or the Galilee, kind of shaped, heart-shaped, as many have said. And this is north, in fact, up here is Syria, and south, of course, east and west. The Bible refers to a town called Bethsaida, B-E-T-H-S-A-I-D-A in English. Bethsaida, which just means house of the fishermen. And the Gospels tell us that Peter and Anthony, a lot of them came, or lived in, at least, this town of Bethsaida. Now, up until just the last decade or so, if you could ask an Arab kid looking for funds, I can't see anything in the sand or anything, like a site. Can you tell me where Bethsaida is? $5, he'll always show you where it is. It's right there. Oh, okay, you want to read it? It's right there. Well, about 15, 20 years ago, University of Nebraska began to make use of satellite technology and all kinds of topography, geography studies. And what the satellite showed is, so this is the northern shore of the Galilee. Okay? It showed not on the northern shore, but a couple of miles north, there's a town. And what their satellite technology, which I'm doing nothing, but what it showed them was that soon after about 100 AD, there was a massive earthquake. And the shoreline and the course of the river from Mount Hermon, the source of the good water, got moved. The shoreline was moved. That's the basic point. Yeah. I'm going to take people to Bethsaida the next year and share with them something I'm going to share with you now. There are only two places in Israel where you can be real sure you're walking where Yeshua. I refer to him as Yeshua because in Hebrew that means saves. If you say Jesus, it could have been Ted. Name him Ted because he will save his people. But name him saving and he will save his people. Makes a little more sense. So I'll go back and forth between Jesus and Yeshua, so bear with me on that. Two places in Israel you can be real sure. One is the southern tips, the southern side of the Temple Mount, southern, and there's steps there. Some of you have seen them, obviously. And those have been well uncovered, and he would have walked anytime he went to the temple. in the Gospels, he went up those steps and into the temple grounds and then into the temple itself. The other place is Bethsaida. B-E-T-H-S-A-I-D-A, Bethsaida. Because we know he walked there, chatting with Andrew, perhaps, or whomever. We know he walked there. And when they began to dig this site, of course, like most, completely covered with soil and then plants, maybe trees coming out of it, when they began to uncover it, they found a very well-preserved little town site, S-I-T-E, town site. Okay? The walls only go up about this high in some, and more often a little lower than that, because roofs caved in over the years, and roofs caved in those earthquakes, I have no doubt, and whatnot. So that's a wonderful recent find that geography, geology, satellite technology made possible. No dynamite. Jeff, is this about the time you allow for a break? So what?
5-10 minutes.
I'll blow a shofar when it's time to come back. Look what Jeff has provided us. Excellent, huh? And you were right, by the way. I was putting Capernaum a little over here, but it's right there. And look what else they have on that map. Bethsaida, and if the dot is, Capernaum is over here, that's their dot. And Bethsaida, as you can see, is removed. And why did they ever look there for it? Well, fishermen aren't going to lug those big, have you seen the so-called Jesus boat around the Galilee?
Yeah.
They weren't going to lug those back and forth every morning when they went out to fish, you know. So I looked a mile or so away, but that's where it was because of, geology. Where'd it go? There it is. And whatnot. I'm scared to death. I'm not getting anywhere near as far as I hope to. Let me just focus on your outline here. Okay. I'm going to give you an example of the importance of understanding the Hebrew behind the Greek in the New Testament. Okay. Those who Jesus spoke to, for the most part, and those around him, where was I going to go with that? They spoke Hebrew with some Aramaic. But I dispute those who tend that it's almost all Aramaic behind the Greek. I don't agree with that. We know there are Aramaic words. Most study Bibles will show when he said the young girl will get up, rise up. That's a Hebrew phrase. Tabatha? Kumi, Tabatha, something like that. But here's another reason archaeologically why we know that Hebrew was a common language. Let's go forward just about 100 years to the early to mid 130s AD. And this was the last big revolt the Jews attempting to throw Rome out. And they actually got Jerusalem. They were successful for a while. But they eventually all went out. And this, their leader, was a guy named Bar or Ben Cosiva. B or B, Cosiva. Now, I hope I don't have this backwards. But he changed his name from the son of a guy named something to son of a star in order to pick up on Old Testament prophecies about the star that would come. Now, here's another reason for that big split between Jewishness and Roman, is that, I just keep censoring myself like I don't have time to do that. Let's stick with this for now, for this. Here's a big reason for the split between the believing Jews and the the traditional Jews, believing Jews versus the traditional Jews. His Bar Kokhba's, I think Bar Kokhba's a better spelling, Bar Kokhba, not Vegas Cursiva changed to Bar Kokhba. Or the other way around. Here's the problem. His main advocate and salesman was a very influential rabbi of the time, named Rabbi Akiva. Akiva. Okay? And this is what Akiva did at the time when much of his army, Bar Kokhba's army, was made up of Jewish believers in Jesus, Yeshua. Okay? He declared that Bar Kokhba is the Messiah. The Messiah has come. Well, the minute that got given around, the believing Jews said, we know who the Messiah is, and if that's your deal, we're not helping you, which also brought about a quick decline in their revolution. But getting back to Hebrew, there's an area there out in the desert where Bar Kokhba eventually wound up. There's several of them called the Caves of Tears. And these were pretty elaborate. I mean, they dug tunnels. I mean, they dug way down deep. And apparently the Romans never found them. And I mention that because we have found several ostraca, or say pottery shards, that include everyday letters or whatever that he sent to others outside of that area. And in perfect Hebrew, it says things like, be sure you bring more arrows and all of that, or, you know, we need a lot more grain, all in Hebrew. And that's 100 years after Jesus' resurrection. If we put it at 30, which is good enough for me, 30 AD. By the way, what you'll see in Bar, and many of them, is BCE, which means before the Common Era, or CE, the Common Era, because they don't want to use these Christian letters. Where's their cutting off point? It's the same cutting off point. It's time, the clock starting with Jesus. I use BC and AD, so there. Totally. So, Hebrew. Now, I want to give you an example, and here we go to Luke 14, 26 in your outline there. Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, 26. I have some good articles on why Luke was indeed a Jew, thereby sustaining the prophecy that all the oracles of God would come through the Jewish people. Anyway, anybody got that to read? I hope you have the same translation I'm looking at.
If anyone comes to me and does not take his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, she asks me in his own life, he cannot be my disciple.
Yeah, hey, that's not what Jesus. This is where we need to know the Hebrew behind the Greek to English of Hebrew. It's a good translation from the Greek. It's a terrible mistranslation from the Hebrew. The Hebrew word, I just stick to writing, transliterating it in English, is, I think I'll go red on this one, so, ne. So, ne was used in very common Hebrew language, a colloquialism, you might say, and it means he who prioritizes his parents above following me, you're never going to make it. Right? I mean, isn't that true for us also? Do we prioritize God, or is he down the ladder a few steps? You know? It doesn't say hate at all. It's, the Hebrew is sone. If you prioritize the needs of your parents higher than my needs for you, it won't work. Just can't work. I think that's a very good Hebrew lesson there, don't you think? Hate, the word hate does not sit well on our hearts or our brains, especially given who they're quoting. All right. Well, letter C. I already bounced around that. Now, creationism. If you're not already familiar with the brilliant arguments in favor of creationism, you'll find a lot of evolution, but I would recommend ICR. Okay. ICR, I've been there, and it's local for us, or it was, I don't think they moved, and I've had speakers from there. I used to have a class at Shepherd of the Hills that averaged about 200, 250 folks every Thursday night, and I had some of their speakers. Now, I am not a scientist, but I'll tell you the time frame within which I work, and my professor Fales worked and taught me, and others. I would say that the Earth, the creation episode in Genesis 1, 2, and 3 occurred about 8 to 10,000 years ago. Okay? Not the 4004 BC October 15th that Bishop Usher came up with. What did he do? He simply added the ages up of the patriarchs, so the old folks before Noah. And that's what he came up with. He, you know, calculated backwards. There's something interesting about numbers in Hebrew. I have not come down with enough facts to really argue, but I'm considering that those numbers given to them as ages of 900 years and whatnot, those numbers could very well be indicative of other information. They may have other meaning. Because numbers in Hebrew are very important. They carry a lot of meaning. Now, as I say, I can't argue that knowledgeably because I'm not there yet. But based on archaeology, based on proper dating of the things we find, I'd say the solar Earth was around here around 9,000 years ago, and maybe as far as 10, 11,000 years ago, okay, the creation. We won't have any trouble finding people who would argue against that. So I think I saw some facial expressions. There's probably people right in this room that didn't like what I just said. You don't have to believe everything I said, you know. Oh, by the way, he and I were talking about Capernaum or Kephar Nahum, which means comfort. Kephar Nahum means comfort. And I was going to show you here on the map, thank you, Jeff, that it was probably right about here. It's not. It's right where he said it was, which is right here in Bethsaida we just talked about. So it's due north. Okay? There's Chorazin. If you've ever been there, you know Jesus cursed it, and it's still a mess. But it did prove something biblically in the Old Testament. Oh, I think even in the Gospels, there's a reference to he sat at Moses' seat in the synagogue. Well, up until recently, nobody believed that there was some kind of a euphemism or something for something else. But when they did bust into that town and the other one, they found what was in Hebrew labeled Moses' seat. And you sat there when you had I don't know if you sat there when you were reading parchment, parasha, or sections of scripture, the Torah. I don't know if that wasn't up front like this. Probably was. Like it's portrayed in the movies. I have no problem with that in the movies. When Yeshua spoke and read from Isaiah 53, right? By the way, you'll never find Isaiah 53 in a regular Jewish synagogue. Never. Is that a signal? Oh, I'm off the camera. I'm sorry. Hi, folks. I'm back. Still me. I hope you heard me at least. Eh? Yes, ma'am. Institute of Creation Research. Yeah, if you want beautiful scientific explanations why Darwinian evolution is wrong and biblical creationism, whatever it occurred, is correct, you go to the Institute of Christian Research. No. Creation. Thank you. Looked like a C, I thought. But anyway, Institute of Creation Research. Very good, very good. Very good source. I think we did cover the satanic attacks, right? All those Darwin and Marx and Lenin people, I think we covered that. And the point was, of course, that that's when God began to show us archaeology. It could prove his word. Here's another one. I'm not qualified to argue carbon dating, okay? I learned from ICR and remembered about 1% of what they taught. That carbon dating is very good up until about 4,000 or 5,000 years ago. You can't get a dating of 10 billion or 5 billion years from carbon dating. Yes, sir.
My recollection from the text published by ICR, the number is closer to 3,400.
Which is the creation?
No, no, the validity back in time.
Oh, okay.
For carbon dating.
So we're reaching 5,000. It is 3,400 BC.
No, okay, I'm looking at total chronology.
Yeah, I'm talking from today.
I'm just throwing that out.
You said 3,400 years, not 5,000 years.
Oh, 3,400 years.
From today backwards in time, 3,400 years, the methodology breaks down.
No, if your knowledge is better than that than I am, I'm trying to throw a lot of this planter out here about how much or how little I know about it. But we do use carbon dating up until the point that the gentleman just pointed out. It is valid up until a point, and it's part of our research and our evaluating and dating, of course, of a site. We have the Jesus Seminar on there as part of the satanic attacks. You've all heard of the Jesus Seminar, I assume, right? Okay. Well, let me tell you how these agnostics figure out what passages should be in the New Testament and which shouldn't. They play a little game of marbles. And your criteria, of course, is, as intelligent people, you must agree there's no such thing as miracles. If there's no such thing as miracles, there's no such thing as prophecy or any religion. Okay? That's their starting point, which means they're starting off marbles. Very early.
I don't know what the Jesus Seminar is.
Oh, okay. It's a group of secular scholars, they call themselves, who have tried to rewrite the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And if you read a phrase like "he healed somebody" or whatever, you drop a black ball into. You've got three balls here. You've got a black marbles. You've got a black one, a white one, and a gray one. So here's that passage, and you drop a black one. This is no such thing as a miracle. That's what they said. That's being sarcastic. I hope you didn't write down how things are doing such things. That was a quote from somebody else. Okay? And if you're thinking it really should be in there, which is probably something rather innocuous and harmless to them, you drop a white ball and you can keep that. And if you're kind of on the fence, could be, may not be, you drop a gray ball. And you go all the way down every passage in the New Testament is focusing primarily on the Gospels. So, how many times have we heard, I'm sure others have heard, non-believers use the Jesus Seminar, quote, Bible, unquote, as the right Bible to be studying? I have. It's all those scholars. They're very intelligent. They must know what they're doing. No, they don't. They do not. So that's the Jesus Seminar. Did I leave anybody behind on that one? We got it? Okay. Oh, no, I'm down to 9 minutes. I got to tell you. These are the 14 pages of my notes that I'm trying to cover in this class alone. Ain't going to happen. By the way, if anybody is not real good at taking notes, this is almost written out, word for word, with some of my own drawing. Yeah,
you know. What, do you have a spell?
Yeah, something I have on my computer.
Thank you.
I can print a bunch of them out.
Can you bring them next week? Could you
print
out copies?
I printed more. I'm sorry.
Could you print out copies for us? Because I would like...
Just emails us a little bit.
Yeah, just remember, I typed it from my editor, so you're going to see intentionally misspelled words,
okay.
Like archaeology might be archaeology, archaeology by. So just you have to get past Brian Lowe. Is there anything going on about that? I should know. Just time?
He asked that you email him the notes, and
yes.
Then he'll have them printed out for next time.
Will do. Because I'm not going to get very far today. One of the main things that Jeff and I have decided would be very good as part of this is to watch a film titled Exodus, Patterns of Evidence. Have any of you seen that before? Well, we may not have to show the whole thing then. Just three? Any more than those four?
No.
You? No? Okay. Well, I'll share. It's a long one, so besides my comments and your comments or questions, it can last easily an hour and 45 minutes. So we'll do it in two parts. I'm trying to get there for next class. It ain't going to happen, okay? I'm just too far behind. And I put that comment in there in your outline. The dating of the Exodus is crucial. As recently as last week, I received a publication in the mail that casually referred to the Exodus, if it did happen at all, happened somewhere in the, during the life of Ramesses the Great, which places it somewhere in like 1270, 80, 1290, somewhere in there. Our verse clue is 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. 1 Kings or 2 Kings? 1 Kings, I think. 1 Kings 6, 1. Which says, Solomon began to build his temple 480 years after the Exodus. Well, we date Solomon somewhere around 900, 950. 480 years goes way past 1250, okay? So we'll talk more about that. But 1 Kings 6:1 is very clear. And obviously, that's so clear and specific, God must have said, this is how we date. Okay? I don't care about, you know, they read, these scholars, I saw it in my second university, somewhere along the line, they read that they built, the Jews built the city of Ramses and Pithom. We're going to find out what that city really was. Ramses was a later name given to. When I moved into our home, we lived in Northridge. It got a little snooty, so now it's Porter Ranch. But same place, right? It's just a little further in the ground. We'll go there. Yeah, I think we covered a lot of the foundationals. I think most of you know what a tell is. It's a hill, okay? And fortunately, for God's word being proved, they're all over the Middle East, especially. And they're just a hill. And you go out there and you see flat, flat desert or whatever, and then all of a sudden, you see a bump, a hill. Not necessarily a mountain, but a hill. And in archaeology, the wonderful thing that was discovered was that when Babylon, Assyrians, whoever, Philistines, whatever, Philistines, I got to get that in there too, that they didn't completely destroy any town. They just built on top of it. So if you want to get the most recent, which maybe 1,500 years ago, you dig around here. If you want to go way back, you dig all the way down past that and take months, if not years, to get there to the oldest site, like Jericho. Been to Jericho. I've seen the section that obviously shows a massive burn, the burning of Jericho, under Joshua. There's another little tidbit of proof for the Bible. I don't know if I'll go into more details on that, but I'll try to. Well, I got through the outline. That's about it. Any comments or questions before I ask you to pray? Close this in prayer? No? Yeah. Okay. I'll pick different people. Oh, yes, sir. Thank you, Bob.
I have a personal question. Are you an old earth Christian or a young earth Christian?
No, I'm a young earth compared to billions of years, you know.
It's my understanding that the reason why the Gospels are written in Greek is that right before the New Testament, Alexander the Great conquered the known world.
We'll talk Greek. About that, about 300 B.C. We'll talk some more about that, yeah.
And he was Greek, so.
Yeah, Alexander's language, Koine Greek, became the lingua franca, I guess is the phrase, of what and all over what became the Roman Empire, as well as the Greek Empire further east. I wouldn't have any doubts if you said that the gospel writers eventually translated from the Hebrew themselves.
into Koine Greek, which subsequently had to be translated more recently. I wouldn't have a problem with that. I can't prove it, but I wouldn't have a problem. But I'm a younger.
Yeah, it seems like the original language of the gospel was Greek, in my understanding.
All the known parchments we have found are all in Greek, Koine Greek, no question about that. But I tried to make the point, successfully or not, that all the people that wrote in the Gospels, all the way from Matthew to Revelation and John, their first language was Hebrew. They were thinking in Hebrew. If they were so smart that they could think in Hebrew and write it down in Greek, God bless them for it. It's a better language for making specific points.
The reason why I asked the first question, I think the ICR is older.
They're younger.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's
Hugh Ross. You're right.
Hugh
Ross.
IRLC. Okay, that's right.
Yeah. Hugh Ross was in the ICR and kind of got pushed out nicely and politely because he wanted to make 6 days into billions of years. Okay. The other thing that I love is science apparently is coming pretty close to a Big Bang theory. And we always ask, what was there before the Bang? It was ex nihilo, Latin for out of nothing. This enormous explosion with all these universes came from nothing.
Can't have a bang without a banger.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody got to light the fuse, right? It was the mind of God. So, no. Hugh Ross is an old earth version. ICR itself does not agree with Hugh Ross. Okay? Oh, you have a question. Whoops.
Whoa, I'm still the coach.
I'd like to ask
the
gentleman the question that you made, I believe, a statement about the universe of the earth is roughly 11,000 years old.
The creations here.
Creature.
Okay. I know what the age of the universe is.
Okay. So my question is, to honor your willingness to open ask questions.
Sure.
You made the comment that there's a group of people that think of the creation date at 4004 BC, I believe.
This question.
Right. How do you get from that perspective to 11,000 years? I don't remember you mentioning that.
Experience. Archaeology. The archaeological finds have been definitely dated from Smyrna, carbonated, that's been dated by the items around it. You know, we also date by what we find. Very often, I'll show you some, oh gosh. Surrounding items. I wanted to do this and I ran out of time, but I want you to see these. These are for real. And I dug this one up. I bought this one, but I bought it from a licensed, reputable antiquities dealer. Okay? And as we saw in the class, come over and look at it. Pick them up if you want to. What good are they behind 6 inches of glass? This is dated at as somewhere around like 1400 BC. Okay. This one a little bit more sophisticated, and it's called a rope design. When you look at it, hopefully you can see that in the design, we're probably breaking the war that was long gone, but use something, maybe a rope itself, to impress on the soft clay. So it's a rope design, and this is more like around 400 BC, something like that. Yeah. And my oldest piece is this.
Where were those found?
This one, the one I found, was in Israel, and almost close to the Jordanian border. Fortunately, we're still having a very good relationship with Jordan and a lot of archaeological good stuff.
And the other one?
The other one I bought. The listing said for this older one, approximately 1300 BC.
In Israel?
In Israel, both in Israel, I'm sorry.
Did they let you take it out in those days?
You can take almost anything out unless it has Hebrew writing on it. You ain't gonna get past the guards at the airport if you found something you're trying to hide with Hebrew writing on it. Ain't gonna happen. This is my oldest piece. If I count from today, this is about 5,000 years old, from about 3,000 BC. Okay? And you'll see there's a little hole here. I'm sorry, I'm going so far over, but I'm off camera here, so it doesn't matter. If you can't see the film, it didn't happen. There's a little hole in here, and they would insert like a stick or something like that, and then they would roll it on the yet-to-dry clay mat. This one is just a design. What I wish I had gotten was one with cuneiform writing on it. That would be beautiful. But this is documented. I'll put it in there, and who's going to answer? You're going to post it there, please. I'm sorry, folks. I can't talk any faster than that. But we'll get there eventually.
The interesting thing is the basic picture doesn't change much.
The idea, no, you can buy a modern picture look like that, can't you?
It's so simple, except yeah. It's out. Yeah. It's basic.
Yeah, I've got a 10-year-old tub that plants are in that look pretty close to this. It's about this high, but same idea. All right, showtime is over. Here we go.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, this opportunity to gather together in this class. Thank you for Dr. Meyer teaching us the biblical things that we have created, Father, so that we can be more aware and how to witness to others. And we just thank you so much for our ability to learn in this class, Father. And as we each go our separate ways, I pray for protection upon us. And we thank you for all things.
Amen. Thank you all. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.